Well, good morning, OCF. What a pleasure it is to be together this morning. I'm so glad to see you here. Let me just cover a few housekeeping details before we get into the preaching of the word this morning. Next Sunday, a week from today, we will have one service. And so that will be a 10:30 service right here in this place. So come early to get a good seat because we'll have a full house for that service next Sunday, August 5th. 2 weeks from today, the Sunday after that, we will have a special outdoor baptism service. So please put that on your calendar. We invite all of you to attend. It's going to be at 4 p.m., 2 weeks from today, August 12th. Donnie and Vicky Varvel are gracious to host us again at their pond. The address is listed in our literature, and if you need help with that, contact the church office. We want to make sure you get out there. While we're on that subject, I've had six individuals so far this summer come to me asking for baptism. I'm excited about that there are ones in our midst who are growing in the Lord who have sensed that call. And so I wanted to just mention it this morning that if that's not something you have done, experienced a believer's baptism, that you would consider that as well. So we take the words of Jesus very seriously, and he gives us the great commission in Matthew 28, where he tells us, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And so we want to be faithful to do that. We do not believe that baptism is linked with our salvation. However, it is a faithful step of obedience in our walk with the Lord. So we encourage baptism. And if you've not experienced that and it's something you're interested in, please come and see me. I would love to talk with you about that and include you in that special service. And for the rest of us, please put it on your calendar, plan to attend. It's one of my favorite events in the entire year, to gather, to sing some worship songs, and to get into the pond, entering the waters of baptism with those that are faithful and following the Lord. Well, having said that, let me introduce myself. I'm John Reisner. I serve as lead pastor at OCF and excited to see you here this morning and thankful for the good work that the Lord is doing in our fellowship, in our community, and even throughout our world. Have you ever slept through your alarm clock? And the moment your eyes open, you have a heart attack. it's this instant panic when you've overslept. And you're like, oh my goodness, what time is it? Where are my shoes? And you're half crazed and you're out of control. This moment of panic. I know I have done it, and I realize some of you have as well. I'm going to be late. Well, God doesn't have that problem. Rick read the scriptures for us this morning. We're going to be in Psalm 121. God never sleeps. And that's the great word of encouragement for us today that we're going to unpack together, that God is watching us with careful, loving eye. That's hard for us to imagine, isn't it? Because, well, we need sleep. In fact, some of you look like you need sleep. No, I'm just kidding. Right? It goes without saying, when you're sleeping, you can't do other things. Well, you shouldn't be doing other things. You cannot drive. You cannot work. And despite some of your best efforts, you can't even listen to a sermon while you're sleeping. We're unable to do the things that we need to do when we're sleeping. And so, God is not that way. Because God doesn't sleep or slumber or take vacations or take time off. He's always watching. Now, as we turn to Psalm 121 this morning, and I encourage you to turn there in your Bibles, I want to point out some wordplay that happens from the author. Many of the Psalms we're given the author. David is the number one guy, and some others as well. This one doesn't tell us who the author is, but he gives us some wordplay. It would be something like, if we were to paraphrase it or put it into English, it would be something to the effect of, look to the Lord because he is looking out for you. Some wordplay that happens here, really with a Hebrew word that appears six times in this passage. Now, with the Bible in front of you, anyone want to take a guess at what that word is that we see over and over? You've got an English translation in front of you. Yes, Seth. We do see the divine name Yahweh mentioned. I believe it's five times in this passage. So we know this passage is about God. That's true. There's another word that we see repeated over and over and over in addition to that. Thank you. Watching. Watches. It's six times in this passage. So, yeah, if nothing else, we could take a bird's eye view of this passage and say, well, what's this about? It's about the Lord, Yahweh, watching. Those are the words that we see most frequently in this passage. Verse 7, I should point out, by the way. Verse 7, we're using the NIV. Translates this Hebrew word, which is shamar, as keeps. Kind of an interesting choice there from the translators of the NIV. I think each of the other instances, they use a version of the word watch or watches or watching, but in verse 7, we see keeps. We'll get to that in just a few minutes, and I'll explain it. But it's amazing, my friends, and this is the good news for us today, that God lovingly watches over his people. And this morning, as we walk through Psalm 121 together, I'm going to encourage us to do three things in response. And those three things are to seek God, to trust God, and to cling to God. Now, before we get into those teaching points, I want to give a little bit of background and context for this psalm. You may notice that it says, a song of ascents. This is one of 15 songs of ascent. Begins at Psalm 120. In fact, again, with your Bible in front of you, you can even peek to see, starting at Psalm 120, and then look at those next several psalms, all the way up to, I believe, 134. Each of them says, and has that designation, a song of ascents. 15 of the psalms are songs of ascent. Now, this is the only song of ascent that we will actually cover in our Sunday morning preaching, as we explore selected psalms in this teaching series. I want to remind us that what we're doing is about 10 selected psalms together on Sunday mornings, but we're doing that in conjunction with the Summer in the Psalms reading plan, where in our homes we are reading through the entire Psalter. That's all 150 psalms. See, if we were to study the entire book of Psalms together, taking one chapter per morning, well, you can do the math pretty easily there. It would take us about 3 years to cover the entire book of Psalms. In fact, if we were to think, well, let's just study together as a church, starting in Genesis all the way through Revelation, one chapter at a time, it would take us 23 years to do that. In fact, we'd be almost 18 years in before we even got to the New Testament. And so, why do I mention that? Well, listen, it's important for us to gather on the Lord's Day, as we do, to study God's Word. It's also important for us to gather in a Bible study or a small group and study God's Word, and to gather with those close friends and associates and accountability partners and in family devotions to study God's Word. And it's important for us, you and I, each and every day, individually, privately, to spend that time with God studying his word. My friends, delight in the scriptures. Pray through the scriptures. Learn from the eternal truths of God's word, the treasures that lie therein. Listen, you may recall from a few weeks ago, as we jump back into the context for Psalm 121, I mentioned that there were three times each year that Jewish men in particular, but really anyone in the household, were asked, required, to travel to Jerusalem. Remember we talked about that? These pilgrimage festivals that happen three times a year? Now, what I said to you a couple weeks ago when we discussed that was that it was very costly. I said, boy, this would have been, you know, time off and the expense of the journey. What we didn't explore together, that we will today, is that it was very dangerous. So not only was it costly, but it was very dangerous. This was a climb through a mountainous region. Some English translations in verse 1 here say, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. That's a totally appropriate translation. This was a mountainous region. So it's a hilly, difficult, dangerous climb. There were wild animals. There were rock slides and landslides, and probably the most dangerous of all, there were bandits, roving groups of criminals poised and ready to strike, to rob you, and to hurt you. And so these songs of ascent were used on the journey. They were used by these pilgrims as they made their way up to Jerusalem. Five roads leading into Jerusalem, all of them going up. In fact, a 14-mile stretch from Jericho to Jerusalem climbs, elevates 3,500 feet in just a 14-mile stretch. This is a climb. This is a hike. That particular road was called the Way of Blood. Indicates how vicious and violent and dangerous it was. You may be familiar with it because Jesus tells us a story, the parable of the Good Samaritan, and it was on that road that the Good Samaritan had traveled. And of course, we know what happened to him. He was left battered and bloodied by this band of thieves. So my friends, Psalm 121, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? The author is crying out here in fear and unease. It's dangerous. It's scary. Do you know how many people have been killed? Do you know how many people have been robbed? Do you know the kind of people that hide out in those mountains? Do you know the apex predators that lurk around every corner? Do you know about the landslides and the rocks? Psalm 121, verse 1 begins with this desperate plea and cry. Where does my help come from? But what I love is it doesn't seem to even miss a beat as it goes into, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You know, I think we've done this at OCF as almost like a call and response, where the leader will give the first part, I lift up my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from? And the congregation will reply, will respond, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I'd like to do that this morning. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from?
My help comes from the Lord.
You know, I wonder if as these folks sang this song on their journey to Jerusalem, they may have done something similar. Like this morning, Dave and Allie traded off, I'll do this verse, you do that verse. I wonder if that's how it went when they sang this. I'll do the first part, questioning. Where does my help come from? And then you echo it. Don't miss the beat, man. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. They encouraged one another as they made this dangerous journey to walk in obedience to the Lord. Listen, when my focus is on the bandits that are around the corner, those predators, those rock slides, those roving bands of criminals, I begin to wonder, am I going to make it? Is there any help? Is there any hope? Some of these illustrations are hard for us to grasp or identify with today. Maybe for us today, it's those unpaid bills. It's that boss that's always breathing down my neck. It's that crisis. It's that loss of a loved one. It's the pressures that I face every day, those deadlines and those expectations. Listen, my friends, this is when we can say with confidence, my help comes from the Lord. And so as we jump into our teaching this morning, as we see those first two verses, our response is to seek God. We lift up our eyes to the Lord, seeking him. And I would say right here at the onset, while I've still got everybody's attention, if there's a lesson to be learned from Psalm 121, it is to seek God. It is to make that pursuit and make that journey to God, no matter what dangers lie before us. And if for no other reason to muster up that choice to seek God, do it for this reason. He is our help. He is the only one who can help. But so often, as I talk with followers of Jesus, I hear that they don't feel close to God. Even as I talk with some of you, you've shared that. I'm not singling out a particular person. But I hear this, that, well, I don't feel close to God. God feels distant right now. Well, listen, I think there's something good and healthy about being able to rightly assess our spiritual state. So I am not opposed to that. There's something healthy about, I can assess my spiritual state, right? For that, I commend them. And the reality is we all go through spiritual droughts. We all go through difficulty and hardship and times where things are just dry and difficult. For that, I am sympathetic. In fact, I am obviously not immune myself. However, I'm going to nitpick a little bit here in terms of feeling distant from God. There's a problem with that. And it's in the word that I just mentioned. Feeling. I feel distant from God. It's not a fact. It's not biblical truth. It's a human emotion. And so, my friends, can I warn you this morning? Do not allow your emotions to guide you. Do not allow your feelings and emotions to make your choices or determine your theology or to make those decisions on where you head in life. They will mislead you. So be very cautious. Your feelings are not an accurate metric for what is true, what is right, and certainly not what is biblical. If God feels distant, maybe it's more of a reflection of where you are, not where God is. I mean, people say, well, I tried God, didn't seem to change anything. Were you truly seeking God? Were you seeking His will? Were you giving Him control? Or were you just calling out to the cosmic genie who's going to grant all your wishes? No, we have this promise in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So seeking God is totality. It is complete surrender. It's God, everything in me and everything at my disposal is yours and is for your glory. My friends, God longs to come to our rescue. He longs to help us and care for us, and He does that. Those who seek the Lord are helped by the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. He is our help. He wants to help, right? I mean, you hear this phrase every time you go into a restaurant or a store or retail. They say, may I help you? May I help you? They're always asking, may I help you? And you look to see if they have a name badge on first, right? Like, because when you see this person actually works at this establishment, oh, they actually can't. If anybody can help me, it's got to be this person because they work here. They are authorized. They have credibility. They have a name badge, so they work here. And sometimes I know I've gone up to people in a store, excuse me, could you tell me I'm looking for the, and they turn and they go, yeah, I don't know because I don't work here. You're like, oh, sorry. Maybe that's happened to you. Has anyone ever come up to you like they thought you worked in the store? You didn't have the name badge on. Come on. Well, the author of Psalm 121 reminds us that the Lord is the maker of heaven and earth. He has a name badge. He's the one who authored all of this. He's the one who created it all and sustains it all and breathed life into all of humanity and all of creation. He has credibility. In fact, He's the only one who can help. You see, in ancient times, the mountains and these hilly regions for the pagan peoples were associated with the gods. They believed that a mountain would have been a sacred place. Well, that's where the gods dwell, is in the mountains. And so, of course, they would have called upon these gods, rescue us, send us rain, or send us healing. But there's only one God who hears, the one true God. He's the God who is alive. Versus all the false gods who are not. In fact, there's a story in the Bible about a prophet of God who has a challenge against 450 prophets of Baal. And what happens is, this is recorded in 1 Kings 18. They each prepare a sacrifice to be burnt, but they don't light it on fire. Instead, they're going to call on their God to start the fire. And so whichever God actually starts the fire wins. So we've got 450 prophets of Baal, and they sort of get to go first. All right, have at it. So they're calling on their God, and very flamboyantly and loudly, and Elijah, who's the prophet of God, he begins to actually tease them. He goes, hey guys, why don't you cry a little louder? You know, maybe Baal's asleep. Maybe you can just wake him up, and then he'll send fire. After several hours, they just give up, and they stop. And when it's God's turn, He sends fire. See, Elijah knew that God wasn't asleep. He trusted that God could do the impossible. In fact, if we look at our next couple of verses, that's our teaching point, that we are to trust God. Elijah was so confident, had so much trust in God, that he actually poured water on his sacrifice before it was consumed in flames. And the psalmist trusts God so much that he says in verse 3, he will not let your foot slip. You're not going to go off the side of the cliff. You're not going to fall. You're not going to perish. And he makes it clear, he who watches over you will not slumber. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, let me confess to you that I don't do well without adequate sleep. Like, I don't know how some of you do it. You're like, got my 4 or 5 hours in, I'm good to go. Like, not me. I need a full night's rest. In fact, I am blessed because I can fall asleep easily. Rachel's always said, like, you're borderline narcoleptic. I can sleep anywhere. My kids think it's like a superpower. Seriously, they're like, that's amazing. Let me share a story with you guys. These are from my youth ministry days. See, now I can share these like it's ancient history. So there was a local church that was doing an overnight youth event. And so we took a group of students. We probably have students, some folks here who were part of that group. I'm not sure. We went and took a group of students for this overnight event that was being hosted at another church. Well, the youth pastor at that church, he's the guy in charge. And he gathers the leaders together and he goes, listen, we're going to do shifts throughout the night. So we've got someone awake all through the night because we don't want any funny business. Like, okay. So if I recall correctly, he designated 3 different shifts. So the one was like maybe 11 p.m. until about 2 a.m. So the first shift. Then the next one was about 2 a.m. until 5 a.m. And then there was the early morning shift that started at about 5 a.m. Well, I'm thinking right off the bat, I just don't want that middle one. Like, I can either stay up late, like, because I'm already hopped up on pizza and Mountain Dew. Like, I'm pretty good. I can make it till 1, 2 o'clock. Or if I get to bed, I can sleep several hours. I won't do great, but I'll get up at 5 or 6 a.m. and carry on. Well, you can imagine which one I got. John, you're going to do the 2 to 5. Okay, great. I should have gone to bed earlier, but there, you know, fun stuff going on and teenagers everywhere, so I stay up late. I stay up until probably 1 o'clock. So I sleep for about an hour. Next thing I know, poof, 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 poof. Hey, John, time for your shift, huh? What? Who? Where am I? So I get up, and my task is to sit in the dark in a very quiet church where everybody's sleeping. So I'm struggling. I mean, like, I am falling asleep big time, but I know I shouldn't fall asleep. Like, I'm the guy who's on shift right now. You know, we've got all these teenagers here. There's no funny business going on in this place. So, man, I got to stay awake. I got to wake up. It's chilly outside, and I go, I'm going to go outside, get a little fresh air, you know, do one of these, a couple jumping jacks, get my blood flowing. So I go outside. I get the blood flowing. I get some from fresh air. All right, here we go, back in, and the door's locked. All right, now what are my options here? I could bang on the doors. I could wake everybody in the church building up and go, yeah, I'm the guy who's supposed to be watching and I'm locked out. I could just stay outside, but then I would freeze to death and they would find me in the morning. So I did what any good, God-fearing, law-abiding citizen would do. I broke into that church. Well, really, I found a window that was unlocked, and I simply crawled through the window and took my post. And I stayed awake the rest of the night. The reason I share that story is because I'm not like God. God doesn't sleep. God doesn't go outside and get locked out. He's always watching. He doesn't take vacations. He doesn't take naps. God always watches over us. And my friends, let me encourage us with this morning. Based on the fact that God doesn't rest, that God doesn't take time off for slumbering and sleeping, you can. Listen, I know some of you are are the opposite of me in terms of sleep eludes you. It's hard to go to sleep. It's hard to get a good night's sleep that you may lie down, but then your wheel, you know, the wheels just keep spinning. Ideas, thoughts, fears, worries, all of that just keeps going. Listen, when you trust God, you can have peace. You can rest knowing that God isn't resting, but he's carefully and lovingly watching over us. So listen, as we talk about this song of ascent, for these ancient Jews, it would have meant, I'm going to make that journey. I'm going to make that pilgrimage despite the dangers. Why? Because I trust Yahweh. He's going to keep my foot from slipping. You get the mental image of a parent who's got the hand of a toddler. I've got you, man. Sometimes you grab the whole wrist, right? You got it right there. You're like, you're not going anywhere, man. You're not going to get a boo-boo on your knee. Daddy's got you. In fact, in a wonderful benediction toward the end of the New Testament, we read about the only wise God, our Savior, who is acknowledged as the one who is able to keep you from falling. Let me give a little bit of a teaser. We have a couple more weeks in the Psalms. After that, we're going to go to the book of Jude. We're going to spend a few weeks together before the fall gets upon us studying this amazing New Testament book. So keep watching out for that. I want to make clear here, though, as we talk about he will not let your foot slip, he'll keep you from falling, it doesn't mean, my friends, that we're not going to stumble. It doesn't mean that we're not going to sin. It doesn't mean we're not going to goof up. Oh, we definitely are. We know from Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We often use that verse. You've probably heard it before. You're familiar with it. Let's look at the next few verses as well, though. Verses 24 and 25 tell us, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. We're talking about trusting God. What it means is, when we trust in Christ, although we are sinners who deserve punishment, we are given this free gift of salvation. Amen? That through Christ, we don't get what our deeds deserve, but we are redeemed by him. Through his shed blood, he imparts to us righteousness. And do you know what Jesus says in John 18 and verse 9? He says, I have not lost one of those you gave me. So our third teaching point this morning, as we look at the final verses of Psalm 121, are cling to God. This is in response to what God does for us. He watches over us with care. And so, my friends, whatever you're facing in life right now, cling to God. God cares about you. God is watching over you. God will protect you. God will provide for you. And yes, God will walk with you through those circumstances. Look at verses 5 and 6, where the author says, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. What a great idea here, that the Lord is a shade. He protects us from sunburn and sunstroke. Like, for me, most of this summer, the air conditioning went out of my car. And it was really, really hot. Rachel and I lived a few years in Florida, and we learned, I'm sure some of our friends know this, like, the parking spots fill up not nearest to the building, but those parking lots fill up nearest the shade, in the shade. So that was me this summer. It was like, I have a dark vehicle, the interior is dark. Like, if the windows were up and that thing was in the sun, watch out. Sunstroke, big time. So this is an amazing idea here, that as these folks are traveling in the hot sun, they didn't have air conditioning, they didn't have those cool little spritzer fans, that they're singing to one another and encouraging one another, saying, the Lord is our shade. I think it's interesting that he also mentions being protected from the moon at night. We're not going to get into this very much this morning, but since early on in human history, there have been superstitions and ideas about the moon and being moonstruck. In fact, the New Testament even does speak of those who are oppressed by the moon. Our English word, lunatic, is obviously a reference to some sort of lunar influence. but God wants to be our shelter. God wants to be our protection. Jesus will shelter you even when the worst comes your way. No, being his follower does not mean that you're going to have a trouble-free journey, my friends. But what it means is you will have him with you on the journey. If we look at verse 7, the author says, "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He'll watch over your life." Now, I'd want to pause here real briefly and say, this verse can be misunderstood. First of all, it's the same Hebrew word that's used over and over and over and over again in this passage. This word, shamar, means God guards you. It means he attends to you and cares for you. A lot of good English translations will say he keeps you, right? So this word means he preserves you, he keeps you, he watches over you, he attends to you, he guards you. So it's the same Hebrew word that's used here in verse 7. The translators chose the word keep in this verse. The Lord will keep you from all harm. It doesn't mean you're going to avoid all harm. That's the misunderstanding when we read through an English translation of this verse. Oh, well, this seems to be telling me that I'm going to be protected and avoid all injury and harm. So first of all, it's the same Hebrew word, shamar. He's going to guard you and care for you. Secondly, harm is really not the best translation of the word that's there either. It's really evil. It's oppression. It's things that are going to hurt you and oppress you. And so what's really being said here in verse 7 is God watches over us and gives us ultimate triumph over evil. In fact, I really like and even prefer the way the New American Standard renders this verse. The Lord will protect you from all evil. The Lord will protect you from all evil. It says he will keep your soul. And as we look at the final verse of verse 8, we begin to see that God watches over us in this life, but God will continue to watch over us in the next life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now, the psalmist says, and forevermore. The psalmist is declaring that in clinging to God, my friends, we are safe. Even when others seek our downfall and seek ill will toward us, the Lord will keep our souls. He will watch over us, preserving us and guarding us. Like Romans 8 tells us, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I can just imagine that for travelers, pilgrims on their way, singing these songs would have been great comfort and would have provided strength. Can't it do the same for us today? Giving us peace and security as we experience the Lord through his word. Listen, guys, God never sleeps. God never slumbers. He's able to watch over us every moment of every day and every night. God is watching over us. Now, if you wake up at 4 a.m., God is watching over you then, all of the time. So cling to him. Well, I want to get to a few action points before we conclude our study for this morning. So some action steps for us this morning. The first is, would you pursue God through his word? Listen, study the word of God each day this coming week. Maybe you're doing our Summer in the Psalms challenge. Spend time in the Psalms each day this week. Seeking the Lord, pursuing him through his word. Secondly, make a list of those things that are troubling you. Right? We talked about the wild animals and the landslides and the bandits. Maybe those will be on your list. Or maybe it will be other things. But what are those things that threaten you, that cause worry and fear and trouble within your soul, whether it's physical or emotional or relational or spiritual? And then, my friends, take that list and pray through it. Offer those things to the Lord, asking the Lord to help you, and declare, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, and ask God to protect you and guide you through those things. And one final action step, and this is before you go to sleep tonight. Thank the Lord that he is standing watch. Thank the Lord that he is watching over you. You know, those of us that have small children, we do bedtime prayers. It's dark. And they're often frightened. We do bedtime prayers with them, saying, God is watching over you. God is with you. We can do the same thing as grown-ups. So pray a prayer before you go to sleep, thanking the Lord that he is standing watch. Lord, I can go to sleep because I know you're not. In fact, if you're one who struggles with sleep, if it eludes you, consider placing some of these verses next to your bedstand. The Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps. He watches over you. What great comfort you will find, my friend, as you go to sleep. So as we conclude, this psalm, as we understand it in context, was written for a journey, for that pilgrimage. I love that imagery because I believe that the psalm for us is also a song for the journey. And it's the journey of life. And it's the journey that speaks of not only this life, life this side of eternity, but it's the journey that carries on into the next life for those who place their faith in the Lord Jesus. Listen, if you're here this morning and you've never made that choice, you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. I'm going to ask Jim Garrett to make himself available in the front here after service. Come and meet with them to talk and pray. I'll be in the back. Meet with the Lord today to offer him your heart and your life and your soul. And listen, I know for many of you, you've made that choice. And now it's about continuing on in the journey in a way that honors God. In a way that we're not overcome with fear, we're not crushed by our enemies, but we stand strong. And we recognize we're not alone, but God is with us. What a wonderful promise, my friends, that God is with us, that God loves us and God cares for us, that God takes active involvement in even our daily lives. I know how it is. Life becomes routine. You fall into the same routine. It feels like you're on autopilot day after day. It's the same thing. You get up each morning, same surroundings, same breakfast. Same journey to work, same old, same old. You're not recognizing that God is with you. Lift your eyes up. Lift your eyes up and see that the Lord is your help. You can wonder where God is, that's fine. But consider, if God feels distant, is it based on where he is or where you are? If we're honest with ourselves, we will recognize we need God, and we need God's help. We want him to watch over us. We need his presence. We need his help. We need his power. So will you allow God to lead you on your journey, to guide you and shelter you and protect you and save you? I read the story that I'll share with you about a practice that the Native Americans had. And that practice was the rite of passage for a young boy into adulthood, typically around the age of 13. And the young boy would be required to go off alone. He goes into the woods for at least one night. Sometimes it was multiple. And in that place, he has certain things he's supposed to do. And he's supposed to prove himself a man. He's supposed to build himself a shelter and catch himself a meal and all of those things. And when the boy then returns to the village after that, he is celebrated as you're now a man. You've done it. What the boy didn't know and only finds out later is that he wasn't alone. But when he went into the woods, his father also went behind him. He's not going to let his boy go into the woods. There are bears out there. And so this practice that I read about was the boy felt isolated. The boy felt alone, in some ways abandoned. I'm all by myself. I'm scared. But he wasn't alone. He was under the watchful, loving, careful eye of his father. My friends, that's what God does for us. We may not know it. We may not recognize it. But God follows our every step. Throughout every day, he makes sure we arrive safely. He leads us. He cares for us. He is carefully watching. In Psalm 16, we read, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. May we say that today. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. The psalmist continues there to say, with him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. My tongue rejoices because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And so, my friends, may we look to the Lord. Seeking God and trusting God and yes, clinging desperately to him and saying, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Will you pray with me this morning? Thank you, God, our Heavenly Father. We come to you this morning in the strong and matchless and mighty name of our Lord Jesus, who has gone to the cross, who has taken upon himself our sin. And so, Lord, as we reflect on that this morning, we turn in full faith, trusting not in our own good deeds, not in our own righteousness, not in our creativity or ingenuity or ability, but trusting only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that as we lift our eyes, we sense you, we see you, and we know you. We thank you, Lord, that you are our help, that you care for us, that you watch over us, even in the times that we don't see it or recognize it. And Lord, may we continue on this journey of life, blessed by you, chasing hard after you, and resting securely in you. And we pray it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.